Now we come to the third study in prayer, how to pray in a little group. Or if you want another title, praying together, let's make it rich. Praying together, let's make it rich. Now, no kind of classroom coaching can teach us to ride a bike or swim unless we do it. So if you wanted to learn swimming, you don't get a few books from the library and read all about it. No, no. So you have to just jump into the water or ride the bike. So it is with praying in a groups. We could hardly find a book written on it. So here are a few things I have learned from my own mistakes so that we can make praying together effective, interesting, and exciting. First is breaking the ice. If praying at a prayer meeting strikes terror in your heart, you are not alone. I remember when I had to pray first time, my heart begins to thump, you know. I was so scared. Many are afraid to pray in public and avoid it as much as possible. I can't say the things as well as John or Margaret. When I open my mouth, nothing wants to come out. What will other people around me think if I pray? What if I don't say the right things? Too often, what should be an experience in worship becomes a source of fear and trembling. I remember very clearly, first time in St. Helens in the evening, 5:30, they were sitting down, and I wanted to pray, and the person next to me could literally hear my heart pounding at the very thought of it. That's because we are more often concentrating on what we have to say than the person we are talking to. If I'm talking to a friend, I don't make one sentence and tick, 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 and another sentence tick. I just talking. If you're like me, let me give you a helpful tip, which has enabled me to overcome that fear. I really prayed hard. One day the penny dropped. Just close your eyes and imagine Jesus is sitting next to you in an empty chair and talk to him. If you're talking to a friend of yours, you don't have to build up every sentence before you speak, or do you? Furthermore, if you talk to a friend, as some people talking in a prayer meeting, you'll be locked up in the lunatic asylum or mental asylum. Can you imagine I'm coming home? My wife opened the door. My dear wife, whom I married 50 years ago, who have been so good to me, say, what's wrong with this fellow? He'll ring the vicar. He gone out his mind, isn't it? Just lift your voice a little bit so that others can be united in your conversation with the Lord and say Amen at the end. Amen means, yes, Lord, that's my wish. Or in the name of Christ, as Amen. If the crowd is fairly large in a meeting, I imagine myself that Jesus is sitting next to the farthest person away from me so that they can join in my conversation. Don't mumble like a bee in a prayer meeting. I can't hear a word what they're talking about. Don't mumble like a bee. How can others say Amen and mean it? Another thing, people think that they are very holy. They cup their hands and talk to it with their hands open. You can't hear a word what you're talking about. Speak up. Speak to them. And also, don't speak onto the floor. Some people humble themselves and bow down, so down, that talking to the floor. So what is the practical thing? Lift your head up. Let your lips be in line with the ears of everybody sitting around. And close your eyes. Jesus is sitting next to you, and you talk to him. If he's a big prayer meeting, remember Jesus sitting at the farther away and talk to him so that everybody could listen to your conversation. If three of you are talking and if you murmur to your friend, that's rude, isn't it? If you are sharing a conversation, everybody want to hear. If you're still nervous, talk to God in one sentence prayer. And if you still don't know, use your Bible. There are many verses in the Bible in Psalms. Write it down and read it. One sentence. Get used to your own voice. You know, when I bow down and pray for the first time, and I wonder, is that I'm speaking? I never used to my own voice with my eyes closed. So I'm a bit scared. So get used to listening to your own voice. Talk to the Lord. Don't shut him from your conversation. You're talking to the living God, not to a dumb idol who can't hear you. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Well, he hears us. And when you that he hears us, we can be sure we obtain what we asked of him. So, breaking the ice. Many people, once they break the ice, once they start praying, is the most wonderful thing you could do. Talking to the Lord among with other Christians and sharing with him is great. I remember first time I learned swimming. I couldn't stop swimming or riding a bicycle. You remember the joy of a little boy learned to ride a bicycle? And that would be the joy to pray in a little group. So, breaking the ice. The second point is, be conversant. We learned that prayer is sharing a conversation with our Master. This becomes easier if you learn to talk to Jesus throughout the day. How much easier it is to talk to a friend with whom you have close relationship or to someone who you rarely spoken. Suppose if I've got a friend, acquaintance like. If I ask him, oh, by the way, you're going to the market, will you get a book for me? So he said, well, I'm in a bit of hurry. Oh, don't worry, don't worry. On the other hand, if it's Ali or Jackie Chapman, I said, will you get a book for me? Oh, I'm a bit... Will you get it for me? So, you know, you got more confidence because you have a conversational relationship with the person. Now, my relationship with the other Christian is not any less than my relationship with Jackie or Ali. It's the same relationship, but we have got a conversational relationship. We got a confidence. We can ask them. And we won't be embarrassed if they say no. And as we gain more confidence to ask, when we are closer friendship with a person, you can pray constantly. Be conversant with Jesus throughout the day. Talk to him, little things and big things, and you see how easy it is for you to pray in a prayer meeting. You're just lifting your voice and talking to the Lord, because you're used to talking to the Lord all the time. Even before you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, first thing. You know, when I get up first thing in the morning, the first thing I say, ask God to help me to love Jesus as a pure bride to a bridegroom. So when you got that relationship, a pure bride to a perfect bridegroom, then you're not afraid to ask. Thirdly, building together. The quickest way to kill a prayer meeting is for the leader to announce four items at a meeting and pray for all the four one go in a prayer meeting. I remember once Robbie Robinson, we were in a prayer meeting and we were only five of us and it's only a half an hour to 35 minutes. And he used to announce, read a passage and then pray, and then he'd announce all the five items. And he used to pray all the five items one go, leave us with nothing to pray about. So one day I saw a booklet, how to pray in a little group, you know, like it's a small booklet like. And it says there, it is wrong for the leader to announce the item and pray for all of them together. So I gave it to him. I didn't say anything. He came back next week and he gave me the book. Oh, I really enjoyed the book. I really enjoyed it, Vijay. Thank you. And then when we start praying, he announced four items and he prayed for all four at one go. You know, sometimes we say it with our lips, but we don't are conscious of it when we are praying in a group. We are building together. With prayer, we are building together, attacking the enemy together, a united front with many thrusts. Each one is involved in it as much as the other person. At a prayer meeting, don't just listen to other people's prayers. That is passive participation. Be with one mind. You can't do this if you are only just listening. How easy it is for your mind to wander away to other things and leave you away from the person who was leading the prayer meeting. I don't know, when my children were young, they can't study unless they put the radio on. I just still don't understand it. They put the radio on and they do the homework. I said, Neil, why you got the radio on? Oh, that's passive participation. It's a background music and I can concentrate on my work. In some prayer meeting, we are praying, we've got passive participation with the prayer that is prayed and active involvement. Oh, I wonder what will I wear tomorrow? You're not listening to the prayer. You're just hearing the prayer. You're not praying the prayer together. So don't have a passive participation. Pray the prayer with that person. No wonder you're frozen in the mouth. And praying that prayer is the best way to learn to lead the prayer on. Because when that person stops something he hasn't said, we can carry on. We can continue that prayer, which comes automatically, because we are praying that prayer with that person. It will be most helpful to bring a pencil and paper and then write down, when they announced, everything that you have to pray. Because if you don't write it down, if there are, say, 10 people, everybody mentioned that, after about one or two prayers, I don't know what I've prayed and I don't know what I've been prayed, I can't guess it. So what happens? I miss one or two prayers. Especially if you've got a young person coming, you ask you to pray for something, and if you don't pray for that person, she or he go away, oh, nobody cares for me, you know. Nobody pray for my things. So it's good to have a paper and pencil. Write it down. Then you can say, you can concentrate on that prayer or that one or that one. And you can, everybody know that what they have requested has been prayed. It's the paper in front of you. Instead of worrying, what will I pray next? Who has been prayed? Who hasn't been prayed? No, there are days at a prayer meeting, I wanted to pray for an item, and I'm about to pray, somebody jumps the gun. And then I would say, no, I will pray for the other thing. And I was about to pray, somebody else jumped the gun. And my prayer meeting would be, because, see, I don't understand the basics of prayer meeting. See, when you're praying together, sometimes the Holy Spirit put in two or three people's mind on certain things they need to pray for. So if somebody jumps the gun, I said, praise the Lord. Two of us are involved. So I can pray with more confidence for that prayer that has been prayed. So it doesn't stop me. It encourages me. And as I'm praying with that person, if that person didn't pray anything left of something, I can carry on and continue that prayer and make it rich. God is uniting us with the same thought and request. So He's helping me to pray with more confidence. So rejoice when that happens. Let it be an incentive to join the thoughts and words with that prayer. You know, there is no extra reward or a pat on my back because I led the prayer. Doesn't matter who leads the prayer. We are praying together. We don't get extra brownie points. We are building together, each one of us as much as part of the other. Acts 1:14.
They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
They were together with women. See? They were together. Fourthly, basically short. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7.
And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words.
You know, the maximum duration any average human being can concentrate on the subject continuously in prayer is about 1 minute. 1 minute with one accord. That's why Anglican college are delightfully 1 minute duration. If you look at the Anglican college, our forefathers are quite clever. It's not more than a minute. If anyone makes a prayer more than that, more than 1.5, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, my mind goes all over the place. I wander all over the place to the strangest of scenes, and you lost the unity of prayer. So make it short. And if you say a little prayer, then somebody else will add from it, and somebody else will add to it. Just imagine if Mrs. Curley is in hospital. I pray, Lord, help Mrs. Curley to trust you. Amen. Well, somebody else can say, Lord, help her relations to have confidence in your unfailing love. Amen. Then somebody else can say, Lord, help the doctors to have wisdom and guidance, and the nurses to give the right medicine and to make her happy in the hospital. Amen. I can say many things like that in any item, short items. So if somebody, when you're praying, get into another item, doesn't matter, we can come back to it. See, if our mind goes away, we are united in prayer, so that you keep that unity. And the effective way of praying for a topic is asking God some aspect of the topic, as I mentioned. Let the Spirit lead you. And, you know, you've got it written on your paper in front of you. That means everyone can take part in the prayer. If it is short, people will pray. If I'm prayer long prayer, the person next to me is saying, oh, I can't do this prayer like that. I can't pray like that. Nothing kills a prayer meeting stone dead more than one or two or three saints all the time praying. Kills stone dead. We want everybody to take part in the prayer. It helps us from heaping empty phrases to beauty and add color to our prayer. Sometimes, you know, we enjoy in our own prayers, like, you know, it's terrible. We're talking to a living God. I remember I was in Amsterdam, and we had about 35 nations, and I shared my room with an editor of a Swedish magazine. And after every evening, 9 o'clock, we prayed together in our own language group. So one day I was in the reception, and he came laughing his head out. So I said, what's you laughing up? In his Swedish English, he said, you wouldn't understand what happened in our prayer meeting. So what happened? Well, every day in our little group, a man prayed, Lord, take away the cobwebs of my heart, every day. So tonight, you know what happened? The man next to him said, Lord, kill that spider. So the cobwebs of my heart can be swept away by killing the spider. For someone can own and own and own. It can also help the leader not to announce the hymn while our brother finished his lamentation. You know, it's happened. Wilberforce, I think, went into a meeting. He wasn't a Christian. And the person in the platform was chairman. And the other Christian was praying and praying and praying. And it went on and on. So the chairman stood up and, let's sing a hymn while our brother finishes lamentations. And Wilberforce heard that. And he said, oh, that makes sense here. And he stayed. And he sat under God's word, and he was converted on that meeting. So, make it real. Fifthly, be honest. Don't copy other people's prayers until you can make it in your own words, with your own emotion from your heart. Otherwise, it's like a dramatic society. There's no harm in copying other people's prayer. You no harm copying the Bible prayers, but make it from your heart. Be honest. We don't have to pretend to the Lord. He knows our heart more than anyone can. I remember a person he had a lot of problem. And he said, I can't love God. I can't love God. And when we came to the prayer meeting, he said, Lord, I love you. In your heart, do you really love the Lord? If not, I say, I love you. It's hypocrisy. Because God knows our heart. So be careful. Do you really love him? Lord, I thank you. But if you don't feel thankful, Lord, give me a thankful heart. I don't feel thankful. That's honesty. If you don't feel like love him, Lord, I want to love you. Will you pour your love in my heart? Ask him. Be honest. You're having a conversation. I saw a couple having a conversation in a marketplace in Romford. And the wife talked to the husband for 15 minutes, non-stop. And he said, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. This is not a conversation. And I remember two friends. They were both of them speaking. So I just watched. And after about 2-3 minutes, they were saying, oh, okay, we're going. So I went there and put my arms around them and said, did you know that both of you were talking for the last 3 minutes? You know what they said? Yeah, because we got so much to say, we haven't got enough time. So both of them were talking. Sometimes ladies can listen to both of them and talk at the same time. I can't. How pathetic it looked. A husband looked helpless with his wife. And the two ladies, you know, let's listen to God too. Remember his promises. Think of the things what we have read in the Bible. As we pray, know his will and his mind. Seek his mind. Lord, what should I pray? Be honest. Then be there. When we go to a cinema, I remember we go to a theater show. Before we got there, my wife was completely sure that we got there before the curtain went up. Very sure. Now, she is so concerned. I'm concerned if I'm going to a cinema. I don't go there when the cinema is started. Much more concerned are we if you're going to meet an important person. So let me urge you, with all emphasis, be there on time if you've got a prayer meeting. Nothing more tragic than people wandering in a prayer meeting and when you're praying in groups. I remember when somebody walks in, I'm praying, and I can see about 20 eyes looking at the door, tick, 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 and then close the eyes. You lost the unity. I remember David Holloway, a big church in Desmond. His curate was I was speaking in Hull. And you know, when I mentioned this to him, he said, you know what happens? When David Holloway have a staff meeting in the morning, half past seven, he locked the door. So if you come at 7:31, the door is locked. You can't get in. You have to go home. Because you are doing business with the Lord. So be there. Poor support for prayer times betrays poor spiritual health. A Christian group that does not bother to meet for prayer has not grasped either the importance of prayer or the urgency of the situation it confronts. No work of God has ever known to prosper without determined prayer support. So be there. But not to condemn in our mind other people who happen not to be there. I remember when I went to St. Peter's, Harlewood, Robbie Robinson asked me, Vijay, would you like to come for our prayer meeting? I said, yeah, I'll be there. When is it? Saturday morning. Yeah, I'll be there. What time is it? 7:00. I'll be there. I'm prepared. I love the Lord. Yes, I'll be there. So when I arrived in the prayer meeting at 7:00 in the morning, there were 4 people. Robbie Robinson, Ray Wheeler, Don, William, and me. So, you know, I said, where's everybody? 400 in the congregation? Just 4 of us here? See, what I didn't understand was that some people have to go to work on Saturday. Some mum have to feed the children. And they've got other things to do. You know what I was saying? I'm here. Look at me. You know, like, so my prayer was absolutely demolished by myself. I remember I was going to the prayer meeting. This is on a summer day. I have to go through A127 and go into the church. And hundreds of cars going to the seaside. And here I am, alone, going to church on prayer. What are they doing? Why are they not to the prayer meeting? You know, it's so critical we can be. I learned from the Lord. When you got only four people, thank you, Lord, we got a quorum. We are four of us. See, if there are 20 people, it doesn't make the prayer any better or anything like that. We are four of us. So thank the Lord. Pray for those who are not there. Rejoice because you are there. Be there not to condemn other people in your mind. You don't get a 10 out of 10. We don't get any brownie points asking where are they. In my heart, I'm saying how thankless people could be. Nonsense. Of course they love God. And it didn't take long for the Lord to teach me his mind in that matter. So, now be there for what? Not to give church notices. I've done it many times. Never use your prayer as a means of telling your friends the news. Suppose if you missed something to tell somebody about what you wanted to pray, just stop. Oh, by the way, let's stop. I wanted something. Would you pray for that? So stop and you announce what you have to say. Share with them what you have to say. And then let's pray. And you can start praying. If you don't do that, if you start giving church notices, your concern will shift from the need to letting other people know the details. You are not praying then. You are informing. So in such cases, stop praying. Inform others. Then continue in your prayer. Then be there not to preach. Many times I've done that. You know, I know my friend is not having quiet time. So I bow my head and say, Lord, I want to have quiet time every day. Help me. I hope he heard that. How easy to preach in a prayer meeting as if my friend heard that. That's bad. You can pray for other people, but be careful. You are talking to the Lord, not preaching to your friend. Then be there not to pray for yourself. Now, this is a very delicate thing. And I tried myself to do that. It doesn't look right when you pray in a group prayer meeting for your needs in the first person singular. Just imagine, if I got an interview tomorrow, we get in a prayer meeting. Lord, I have an interview. I'm very worried about it. But your friends haven't got an interview. So you can't be united in prayer. So what you have to do is say, tell somebody, I've got an interview. Will someone pray for me? So you can say, Lord, Vijay has got an interview. Would you help him? Then everybody can, yes, yes. So they can join in unitedly. So it's nothing wrong if you pray for first person singular. It's better not to do it. Tell somebody, I've got a request, and ask them to pray. And number seven, by faith. Faith is a confidence in God. And it's a gift from God. It depends upon his character than our ability to have it. Just let me explain. Suppose if I told Ali, I'm going to take a meal and Jackie's coming too. And I said, okay, we'll do it on Friday night. So she's all dolled up and Jackie was here. 7:30, 10 o'clock, and I rang, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot all about it. And if I break my promise about 10 times, she wouldn't have much faith in me, would you? Her faith in me doesn't depend upon her ability to believe, but my ability to fulfill what I promised. See, our faith in God is not my ability to pray or to have faith, but his ability to fulfill what he has promised. Our faith is in God, and it's a gift as we know God and grow in him. We come to God not with blind faith, but with real confidence. If not, it's not real faith. And it won't help. I remember when I was in office in Lloyd's Register, John Monroe was a colleague of mine. And one day, I'm so excited about reading the Bible and all. So John said, Vijay, I wish I had your faith. So I laughed and I smiled. I said, John, if I tell you I've got a good dentist, You won't tell me, I wish I had your faith. He said, where's the dentist? See? Where's the dentist? See, I don't need a blind faith to force myself to believe in things. Just imagine, I'm coming out of my office and you come to me and say, oh, my friend has been from India, is badly injured, is in a guy's hospital. Would you come and say hello to him? Well, I can come straight away with you, talk with that person, so 5:30, 6:30, till 11 o'clock, and I get home. I'm absolutely confident my wife would have fed the children, they would have said the prayers, would have said the Bible reading, and they would be fast asleep. I don't have to force myself to think my wife will do it. No, she has done it before, all the time. So the things God has done in your life increases your faith. I remember I was in Saffron Walden. It was 50 men, men's breakfast. And I don't eat because I get butterflies in my stomach. I got terrible accent, hopeless diction, pidgin English. And I tell God, if I was God, I wouldn't choose myself. But so I don't eat. I get butterfly. As I pray, and here there was a fresh, smashing time with about 50 people, half of them non-Christians. They really listened to me. And when I have my coffee after the breakfast, after the questions, the vicar came to me, committed man. He says, Vijay, you're so sure. So sure. So I smiled and said, yes, as sure as the sugar is sweet. See, nobody has to tell me sugar is sweet. And I said, brother, if I bring a mango from India, you've never seen a mango. It's from India. He said, what is it? It's a mango. What does it taste like? It's sweet. So you take my mango and put it in your fruit bowl. Tomorrow the bishop comes. Hey, that's a mango. I went to Sainsbury's. It's horrible. Tastes hopeless. Then for you, it is the bishop's word to my word. But if you tasted it, you know it. See? You tasted it. So I'm so sure because I tasted the Lord. I've been a Christian from 1965. That's nearly 43 years. He's never let me down once. And God knows I'm telling you the truth. Of course I have to go thick and thin. Of course I got problems. But when you meet an impossible situation, praise the Lord. Because that's the time you can exercise your faith. And God never lets you down. His promise is always true. Of course he doesn't give you what you want. The little thing God gives you, God has helped us, give us more confidence to ask for more other things. Let our confidence grow as we grow in him. Don't stretch your faith. I remember hearing a story of a Christian man praying for several years for his neighbor to be converted. Nothing happened. Then he cried out to God, wanting to know why his prayers were not answered. And the God showed him. Why? Because he couldn't imagine his friend, his neighbor, going to church with a Bible in his hand. So he began to pray within his faith. He asked God to help him to meet his friend, to break the ice. Within a few days, he got that opportunity. Then he prayed, Lord, help me to help my neighbor. Within 3 days, his neighbor's lawnmower broke down. So he came to borrow the lawnmower. Now he was delighted. See? So he asked the Lord to give him a chance to say something about the Lord Jesus in a similar way. And he was converted. 15 years it took him, he says, to take his friend to go to church. But you pray within your faith. Don't stretch your faith. So, as I told you, if I break my appointment with a friend many times, he wouldn't have much faith in me. And his faith in me doesn't depend upon his ability to believe or his character, but my ability to fulfill what I promised. Look at the Bible. Look at his promises. Learn his promises. Pray within your faith and let your confidence grow in God. Hebrews 11:6.
And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Now be conscious. 8th item, be conscious. Luke 18:10-13.
two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner.
Well, when we pray in public, we should remember the contrast between the prayers of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We must not pray to display our goodness, like the Pharisees did, but to share our need. Let's look at the prayer of the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee prayed to make an impression on other people, gave out a long list of his plus qualities. He was right in everything what he said. He fasted twice a week instead of once. He just prayed with himself. He didn't want anything. He was too proud. And he wanted to impress his superiority over the tax collector at the back than other and to others. While the prayer of the tax collector was completely opposite. He was in need. He wanted something from God. And he knew that he didn't even deserve it. Now, one prayer God can never refuse is the prayer of the tax collector. Because Jesus said that man went justified over the other. When we come to God, let's remember to whom we are coming. That we are indeed in the flesh. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20.
I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
See, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. We are in the flesh. The life now we live in the body. I live by faith. See, we are in the flesh. We need him. That we need daily cleansing to be able to talk to God. And we don't have to impress him with good works. How easy it is that our attitude can be like the Pharisee, even though we may not say it with our lips or admit it in our hearts, unless we are conscious of this weakness in us. When we pray in groups, let's be conscious of sharing our needs with the Lord than trying to impress those next to us with our wonderful prayers. Don't worry. Also, let us be conscious of telling God the needs of others rather than worrying about whether we said it right or not. God knows it. Doesn't matter. See, when we are conscious of their vow, we will realize that we don't need any special skill to pray in a prayer meeting. Be conscious of the promises of God. For this, you have to know them and learn them in by heart and be familiar with them. 1 John 5, 14 to 15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
So let me conclude with three golden rules. Be short, be audible, and don't worry about your grammar. Amen.